Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Peace. Opening day, picks edition of the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Kutt. Kutt is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Head to kutt.com, that's K-U-T-T.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball and more. Sign up today using the promo code MLBSGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Wednesday, March the 27th, and we are here to handicap opening day. Thank goodness for that. Games start, or should have started, 24 hours from now. But we've had our first two washouts of the season, so we'll get to those in a little minute. But joining me, and I forgot we were going to do this, Moonaf. Welcome to Texas. Yeah. It's Mr. Moonaf Manji. Moonaf, how are you doing?
Oh, we are officially back, Mal. MLB's regular season 2024. I'm really excited. This is one of the more exciting weeks for sports fans. I think you could say that about any week, but you have obviously the college basketball tournament going on. Sweet 16 kicks off on Thursday. Obviously, we're here for MLB opening day. I mean, you're still in the midst of EPL, NBA still going on, NBA is winding down as well, NHL. So great time to be alive. And I'm so excited. I'm so pumped from the MLB season. This is always my favorite time of the year for sure.
Yeah, there's just a real feel about today. The sun came out today here. Yeah, I haven't seen the sun for about 4 months. I've got that sort of last day of term feel today. Just, I think, because the sun came out and it was opening day tomorrow. And I've pulled a really nice stunt, Moonaf, in that I booked my van into the garage tomorrow for its annual MOT, so I can't leave the house even if I wanted to because I've sent the van away. And hopefully they'll find just something wrong with it so they have to keep it till like Tuesday as well. That was the plan. So when I get looked at by the IT department, everyone else this weekend, listen, I can't go anywhere. So that was a really nice day-gen move. I've bided my time and booked the van in. So yeah, looking forward to it. Like I say, we lost the early game though, the Mets and the Brewers. Gone to the weather, as has the Braves at the Phillies. So obviously a little bit of rain over on the East Coast. The chat is buzzing, as we'd expect for opening day. TV DBJ was in about 16 hours ago, making sure he wasn't messing about. All right, Trev, how are you doing? You must be gutted that your team's been postponed. That must be one of the most frustrating things, to be built up in like a coiled spring, ready to watch your team on opening day, and then you don't get to watch them. So that'll be a double header on Friday, actually. Rubric Ocean, Adam was third in. Adam, how you doing? Riley Chances, yeah. Yeah, that postponed game actually means there'll be day spall on Friday, which I'm pleased about. Do you feel prepared for the season, Moon? After you got loads of bullets ready to fire?
Yeah, I think that was a great point to bring up, like you mentioned here, is that, and I wanted to ask you this as well, and generally I'll give my thoughts here as well. Obviously, when a new season kicks off, you know, how are you approaching it? I think that's something that we should mention before we get into the games is I tend to scale back a little bit as far as how much I'm betting just because I want to gather more, you know, data information and things like that about these teams. So I take at least the first, at least 2 weeks, maybe even up to a month, just to kind of, you know, figure out some of these teams and what the lineups are looking like and things like that. So, but yeah, I mean, as far as futures, they're all locked in, ready to go. And again, still have time if you haven't listened to all the division previews that we did to get all to those. And then obviously we did our awards show, and then we also did our World Series prediction, and then you put together the fantastic video of the World Series predictions from all the hosts across the network. That was a lot of fun to watch as well. So yeah, I'm ready. I have the bullets ready to fire, but I do scale back a little bit, at least for the first couple weeks here, just to kind of get a feel of the regular season. And yet again, this is a great reminder that baseball is that one sport, Mal, that it's a very, very long season, that it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And when you kind of get to those dog days of the summer where you only have baseball going on, that's where you can really lock in and, you know, find ways to make money. So at least for myself here, I scale back a little bit. What about you?
I totally agree with you, Moonaf. The only thing I would say contrary to that is if there's a team or a player, maybe a pitcher particularly, that you're high on, if they do continue to have a really good season, that this is the time to get them before the books adjust.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like,
yes.
Well, just picking the name of the top name on my sheet here is Cole Ragans, who we've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
Now, he's even money tomorrow. Maybe in the middle of June, he might not be. You might not be able to back him at even money. So, you've kind of got to be ready to put your money where your mouth is. If there is a team that you like, or equally a team that you dislike or a pitcher that you dislike, you might only get three or four chances to fade them at a decent price before everybody else catches up and adjusts as well. It's absolutely a balancing act. Yeah, I won't go mad tomorrow. I've got some money in DraftKings to put some DFS stuff on. So I'll have a little DFS lineup as well. That's one of the great things about the DFS lineup is, if you don't really fancy betting much, put a couple of $10 lineups on, and you've got an interest in every game then. So, yeah, looking forward to it immensely. Slightly disappointed about the two rainouts moving off, but we're going to get that all year long, and it does give us double headers and stuff as well. Daryl Turner's joined us, and Captain Insano. Aye, aye, Captain. How you doing? Right then. We're going to do it, moving off. Tell you what we'll do first. This is the MLB gambling podcast on SGPN, but SGPN has 20 plus gambling podcasts, all completely free. So if you haven't got yourself around some of the others, Moonaf hosts a few, I've got the Premier League show. But in honor of March Madness, this week's featured shows are the Sports Gambling Podcast, which is the flagship SGPN show hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Stack in the Money Green. The boys have picked every tournament game against the spread since 2012. The College Basketball Experience with Colby Dant, a.k.a. Pick Dundee, Ryan Moneyline Mac, and formerly of this parish, producer Noah Beanick, continuing their unmatched coverage of college basketball. And subscribe today to all of that, the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience, wherever you get your podcasts. So, the first game tomorrow is postponed. The Brewers on the Mets. Sorry, Trev. So, we will go to a 3:05 p.m. Eastern time, which is 7:05 evening for me, which isn't too bad. I do have a long day to wait, so I'll just have to set fantasy lineups and stuff. We have the LA Angels at the Baltimore Orioles. The Angels have Patrick Sandoval going to the mound, left-handed pitcher, are +155. The Orioles will debut Corbin Burnes. They are -185. See if I can find a total. 7.5.
7.5.
There's a lot of 7.5. Sorry, Moonaf.
No, I was just going to mention 7.5 as a total.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of 7.5 kicking around. I think that must be the weather, I guess, Moona. Last year, we only ever saw 7.5s when it was the Marlins playing every day in the summer. But I'm guessing that's a little weather thing. So, not top of my list for betting games. There was other stuff I like more, Moona. But Corbin Burnes for the Orioles. The spotlight is very much going to be on him, especially starting the season in isolation as well. They start 2 hours before everybody else. So all eyes on Corbin Burnes first up, Muna.
Yeah, like you, I mean, I didn't want to lay the minus 192 price here with the Baltimore Orioles. And just want to see how Corbin Burnes being in a new field plays. Obviously, he's been with the Brewers for, you know, pretty much his entire career before getting traded over here to the Orioles. So I think this was 2 seasons ago when I had bet on Corbin Burnes against the Cubs. And I think he gave up like 4 runs within the first 2 innings. So I still remember that, and it got off to a bad start for me in that game. But I really didn't have a lean in this way. I think if you want to look at it, maybe 1.5 on the Orioles, get some plus money on that. But I really didn't have a lot for this game.
I just thought I was the same as you, because I like to maintain a watching brief on a pitcher making his first start, maybe just a little bit nervy. And I looked at Sandoval early last season, Munaf, and he pitched really well early on. His first 3 starts last year, he only gave up 3 earned runs. So he does go well fresh. Bit of a race, a horse race in term there. Sandoval does go well fresh. So I don't trust the Angels at all in the bullpen. This is kind of Groundhog Day from last year. But I think the Angels might be live first 5. Like I say, Burnes, a little bit dodgy. He gave those runs up, like you say, Muna. The Angels first 5 are plus 150. So having looked around, that was the pick I liked in that game. Rock Lobster, Joel in the chat. Boys, how we doing? Next game on the board is a 4:10 Eastern first pitch between the Washington Nationals and the Cincinnati Reds. Washington are plus 130 behind Josiah Gray. And Frankie Montas goes for Cincinnati, who are minus 155. Total is set at 9. Again, Munaf, this was one of the least appealing games on the whole card, really. So, for a couple of reasons, I like Josiah Gray. Still have a soft spot for him. And I still hope that he can be worth following at various points during this season. But I want to see what he looks like first. And really, that's the same with Frankie Montas. Now, Frankie Montas can often be talked about in positive terms. But again, he's really for watching. You think the total is high? Because Washington aren't supposed to be very good. So if they're not going to score many runs, 9 is a lot on opening day to get to. If the Nationals are going to give you 1 or 2, you're expecting a lot from Cincinnati. There's a little player prop I like. Washington, the back end of last season, ran like hell. It was mayhem on the base paths. And they've continued that in spring training. I think they stole 40-something bases in spring, which was the most across the Cactus and Grapefruit Leagues. And CJ Abrams is a player we've talked about a lot. There's not much to talk about with the Nationals, but Abrams is a good pick, and he's plus 250, maybe plus 230 actually, to steal a bag tomorrow. And Washington will have to do that. They're going to do that. So Abrams is a good play. Right, I like the underlying moon off. Like I say, I don't think the Nationals are going to contribute many. So 9 just looks a little bit high.
Yeah, I think when we talk about Josiah Gray, traditionally he's been a pitcher that's, for whatever reason, done very well on the road. And I think that's been something of a theme for him throughout his career. You take a look last season, yeah, he had 4 wins each, both at home, at Nationals Park, and on the road. But I think where the disparity there for Josiah Gray is, Mal, his ERA at Nationals Park, 5.49, and on the road last year, 2.97. And then if you just take a look at his career in the 3 years, at home, in the home games that he's pitched between, where it was with the Dodgers and obviously majority with the Nationals, 6-15 with a 5.93 ERA, and on the road, 11-10 with a 3.59 ERA. So I feel like I have a better pitcher here with Jojo Gray. So I wouldn't be opposed to taking a first 5 innings money line here with the Nationals. I mean, I could see them being up 1-0, 2-1, something in that neighborhood. Or even if it is a tie game, I mean, at that point, you'll push with the Nationals. But you take a look at Frankie Montas. I mean, last year he pitched 1 1/3 inning, and now he's your opening day starter. So he might have some rust here being the starting pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds here. So I think there's a little bit of value here on the first five innings for the Washington Nationals here. I'm trying to find that exact number of the first five innings for the Nationals here. Give me 1 second. Let's see. Yeah, it's at plus 140. So I don't hate that here for JoJo Gray.
No, I agree with you. We kind of suckers for Josiah Gray, probably for 2 years on this show. He's had quite a lot of airtime. And we've picked our spots with him. So, yeah, underdogs live all over the board, I would say, tomorrow. Captain Insano was mentioning the new obstruction rule, opening up the base paths. I've seen a couple in spring training. There was a Francisco Lindor play in second base. I mean, he was barely... He wasn't obstructing, in fact. He wasn't obstructing anything. And everybody was baffled when the runner was called safe because of the obstruction rule. Yeah, so we're going to see some chaos. I think that's actually going to... A lot of people have said the stolen bases from last year is going to regress, but I don't think they've factored in this obstruction rule. It won't count. The only thing is it doesn't count as a stolen base. It counts as a fielding error. But it's still going to be mayhem on the base paths. Like, the next game is 4:10 Eastern. I like this game a lot, Moonaf. The bookies can't split these two. So this is our job, Moonaf. The San Francisco Giants go to the San Diego Padres. We have Logan Webb for the Giants. We have Yu Darvish making his second start for the Padres. It is a match at the books. It's minus 110 each of two. Total here is 7.5. So Darvish pitched last week in Korea against the Dodgers. He only went 3 2/3. And we didn't pitch bad. And I think that can only help sharpen him up here, really. Two hits, three walks, and three strikeouts in that. But I did like what I saw from San Diego last week, Moonaf. We talked about it after the event on the award show. They lost the first game on Cronenworth's dodgy glove. And obviously, it's a teeny tiny sample size. But I liked what I saw from the bottom half of the order. We talked about how they're situational hitting. They just didn't seem to bear down enough. Fernando Tatis has mentioned this in interviews. And I think we're going to see a bit more focus. So the bottom half of that order, with the catcher Camposano was great. Scott Reichel gave some beautiful props on Camposano last week when we previewed those games. Tyler Wade. And then the kid Merrill Jackson. Jackson Merrill. There's a lot of Jacksons kicking around. A lot of rookie Jacksons kicking. So there was no cheap at-bats in the bottom half of that Padres order. Now, the Giants are a team, I think, are polarising more people than any other team I've seen. There's people like me who are out on them. There's teams in this league where everyone kind of knows they're going to be good. There's teams in this league where everyone knows they're going to be bad. And there's only a handful of teams where really... all the options are on the table, and the Giants are one of those teams. I'm not really sold on them, but I've heard other people talk about them quite promisingly. There's nothing wrong with Logan Webb at all. He's very, very good. He had a dodgy start on opening day last year at the Yankees, and he did have a 4.31 road ERA compared to a 2.26 home ERA. That's a lot. That's two whole runs. So that's just enough evidence. What I saw last week from Darvish and the Padres and that home road split from Logan Webb. So I think at minus 110, I'm happy to take the Padres, Moona.
Yeah, I think the one thing that gives me concern about Darvish is that he has struggled against the Giants. I mean, even dating back to last season, he had two starts where he allowed four earned runs each in those starts. Walks are a little bit of concern as well for you, Darvish, against the Giants. He's allowed at least two walks to the Giants. I'm not going to be saying Padres. Darvish allowed at least two walks to the Giants in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Six out of the last seven meetings against the Giants team. So I think there may be a little bit of value here on the over. Like you mentioned with Logan Webb, better pitcher in San Francisco in the Bay Area versus on the road, but he hasn't been too bad against the Padres either. So, I mean, his last start last year was against the Padres where he threw a complete game, nine hit, one earned run game, had seven strikeouts in that game. So, I understand why this is at minus 110 both ways. I think the books are respecting what Logan Webb can do because he's been pretty good in his career against the Padres. I would probably look at a Giants first five innings here as well. I think Darvish, again, if he lets some guys on base, and I think the Giants can capitalize on that. So I would look at Giants first five in this game.
Okay, we will move on once we talk about Cut, the outstanding new peer-to-peer social betting platform, available in 40 states based in the US. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. You can bet directly against your friends or any other users on any subject you like. Create your own bets, put them in there. Me and Moonaf, we're going to slug it out over a Detroit Tigers total, 80.5 over or under. Cut does everything for you, handles the payment side, so you don't have to chase people down. Social features and rewards as well. Cash back every single time you bet. So download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. Use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. Underdog Fantasy continue to help us out here on the SGPN, the easiest place to play fantasy sports and the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Just pick higher or lower on the players that you like. Pick between 2 and 5 players to build your pick'em entry. Go higher or lower. You can win up to 100 times your money on a single night. Sign up today with the promo code SGPN MLB and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com, find them in the App Store. Don't forget to register with our promo code SGPN MLB to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or over and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Okay, next up, 4:10 p.m. is the St. Louis Cardinals at the LA Dodgers. Lines are, my lord, I didn't make my notes in any order, Moonaf, which is absolute batshit crazy in hindsight. St. Louis are plus 195. The Dodgers are minus 238. The total is at 8.5. Miles Mikolas goes for St. Louis, and Tyler Glasnow is back on the hill for the Dodgers. Moonaf, Dodgers, the shortest price favorite on the card today.
And rightfully so, right? I mean, when you have Miles Mikolas being your starter on opening day, I think that kind of speaks volumes at where your pitching rotation is at with the Cardinals. Obviously, it would have been Sonny Gray if he was healthy, but here we are. Mikolas last season, not a great year for him, 9-13 overall with a 4.78 ERA. At home last year, his ERA was worse, 3-7 with a 5.55 ERA. On the road last year, 6-6 with a 4.05 ERA. During the day last year, 4-6, 4.63. So he was just consistently bad no matter where he pitched and what time of day it was. Against the Dodgers in his career, Mal, he is 1-2 with a 4.23 ERA. Did have a pretty good outing against them back in May of last year. He went 7 innings, allowed 6 hits, 3 earned runs. But that was a home start for Miles Mikolas there. I think it kind of goes back to what you mentioned about the Padres, is that the Dodgers obviously have faced them in Korea. Were they able to kind of have a advantage, I guess we can say, with already going through kind of the game day you know, routine and things like that. Obviously, it wasn't at Dodger Stadium. Man, how much is the Ohtani stuff a distraction for this team? I think that's a conversation as well. So I think the play I'm going to go with, until if they keep pricing this at 4.5, you got to take the over on the Dodgers team total over. I think that's going to be my favorite play in this game. I want to see a couple of more starts out of Tyler Glasnow. He went 5 innings, allowed 2 earned runs, did have 4 walks and 3 strikeouts in that game in Korea. Dodgers were able to win that game 5-2, so they did cover the run line and their team total in that game. So the team total is juiced a little bit. It's at minus 145 currently over on DraftKings, but I think there's an opportunity for the Dodgers to really, again, showcase one of the deepest lineups in the entire MLB with, obviously, Betts, Ohtani, Freeman at the top three. Will Smith just signed a 10-year extension with the Dodgers, $140 million. So he's locked up with the Dodgers. So my favorite play here, Mal, is going to be over 4.5 team total runs for the Dodgers.
I spent about 30 seconds handicapping this game, Moonaf. We've done 4 or 5 preview shows, and I've mentioned how far out I am on the Cardinals in every single one.
Yeah.
Division favorites sending Miles Mikolas to the mound on opening day. What's going on? Everybody on Class A drugs. I do not understand what's going on. That's baffling. And I'm not really in on the lineup either. I just can only pick Dodgers on the run line. It's dead boring, but it's also -118, which isn't a terrible price. Like,
yeah.
They're going to smash and we'll get to the end of this game. The Dodgers will win 9-2 and we'll all be sitting here thinking, well, that was easy. Because it is easy, so don't overthink it. Just get on with it and back the Dodgers on the run line. To be fair, I never considered the Dodgers team total. Little ladder moon off. We haven't Bazza's ladders or CJ's ladders. A little ladder on the Dodgers run line because they could get a double figures tomorrow quite easily. 4:10 Eastern time. The Toronto Blue Jays. James is in the chat, our Toronto man. We'll take on the Tampa Bay Rays. We have Jose Berrios going for Toronto. And Zach Eflin takes the ball for the Rays. +114 on the Blue Jays. -135 on the Rays. Total here. There's another low one. 7.5 moon off. Good game, this one.
Yeah, a little AL East matchup to start the season for these two teams, division games here. Zach Eflin was a pitcher last year, Mal, that we talked about at volumes, especially how well he did at Tropicana Field last year for this Rays team. Great year life for him last year, 16-8 with a 3.50 ERA, in particular at home last year, 11-4 with a 3.30 ERA. Did face the Blue Jays, let's see here. Only had one start. Thought it would be a lot more because they're in the division. But nonetheless, did have solid outing in that game. 7 innings. He only allowed 6 hits, 1 earned run. Only did have 2 walks. Shockingly, no strikeouts in that game for Zach Eflin. So, and Jose Berrios, like you mentioned, he was pretty consistent both at home and on the road last year. Despite having an 11-12 record, he had a 3.65 ERA, very respectable there, 184 strikeouts, did very well against the Rays last year as well. He did have, I believe it's, yeah, 2 starts last year for the Blue Jays against the Rays. In that span, Mal, he was 2-0 with a 1.50 ERA, 11 strikeouts in that game. So I think we see a bit of a pitching duel here between these two pitchers. I think they can both go 5-plus innings at minimum, 6-plus innings if they're going along very well. Whether if you want to take the full game under for these two teams, it's at 7.5 right now. Or if you want to take the first 5 innings, that number's probably at 3.5 for the first 5 innings here between these two pitchers. So I'm expecting a pitcher's duel here. Don't have much for the side, but I do like the under in this game here, Mal.
I think this is our first disagreement, Moonaf, because I've got the over here. I just thought that the two lineups are too good for a line of 7.5. I couldn't split the two teams. I had a look to try and take a side, and I couldn't split them. And at that point, the +114 on the Blue Jays appeals because it's a much bigger price than the -135 on what really, to me, looks like a coin toss. Gun to my head, I would take the Blue Jays at +114. But what put me off betting them was that Eflin is really, really good at home and Berrios isn't quite as good on the road. So that was just enough to put me off putting the Blue Jays out as my pick. But I just think 7.5 is too low. These are two good sides, two good offences. I get there's a lot of 7.5s because of the weather. That's not going to make a difference. I get there's 7.5s because you've got premium pitches and I understand it in the White Sox game or in what would have been the Mets Brewers game. I don't really get it in the Rays Blue Jays. I think it's too low. So I'll take the over 7.5, Moodaf. Next up, 4:10 Eastern. Popular time that tomorrow. That's when the majority of the games go off. We've got 8 games going off at the same time there. The Minnesota Twins at the Kansas City Royals. Pablo Lopez for the Twins. Left-handed pitcher, Cole Reagans for the Royals. Twins are just favourites, -118. Even money for the Royals, +100. And the total, I've seen 7.5s. I've also seen 8s. So this is one of my favourite games to pick. Firstly, obviously we just talked about how I've said I was out on the Cardinals. They're the team I'm most out on. One of the teams I'm most sweet on were the Royals. So I was trying to factor the Royals in here and make a case for them. But it's a good-looking game. These two teams actually faced each other on opening day last year. Pablo Lopez pitched that day and pitched really well. The Twins edged out the Royals 2-0, so not much in it. Cole Reagans, though, has been kind of the story of the summer, of the off season for the four Kansas City Royals. We've got the strikeout prop, we've got the 80-1, the Cy Young talk. I've seen loads of talk. He's starting to get talked about in legitimate places as well, not just speculation. Adam Rosenberg, one of you on the show, was a big fan. And he finished the year really, really strong. 7-5, 347. He pitched 96 innings with 113 strikeouts. But really, it's how he finished the season so strongly. He had six starts in August, Moonaf, with a 1.72 ERA and 53 strikeouts. And I like the lineup as well. Michael Garcia will lead off. I think he can step forward. Then he's followed by Bobby Witt, Vinny Pasquantino, Sal Perez. No problem with Lopez, though. I'm not fading Lopez at all. He's absolutely fine. 11-8, 366 last year. I'm just not a huge fan of the Twins lineup, particularly the bottom half. So I do like a first five under. I think these two pitchers can just cancel each other out. First five under. The total of 8, I like. But when I say last year, Minnesota nicked it on opening day 2-0. This time round, the Royals are going to nick it plus 100. So I'll take the Royals with the under, Mooner.
Yeah, I like the under in this game here as well. I'm seeing conflicting things on the how much wind there's going to be. I do see one side that's telling me it's going to be around 17 miles per hour in blowing out to left field. Another one telling me about 6 miles per hour towards right field. So hopefully tomorrow we have more clarity. That's one thing that's kind of holding me back from taking the under until I do get more clarity on the direction of the wind and how much wind or how many miles per hour it's going to be going. But I mean, on paper, this should be a great pitching duel because last season, like you mentioned, Pablo Lopez was pretty darn good against the Royals. He did have one bad start where he'd win six innings, allowed six earned runs, but still had seven strikeouts in that game. And the offense really carried the Twins in that game. And then, like you mentioned, right, they played an opening day last year. It was a 2-0 victory for the Minnesota Twins. They had 11 hits in that game, Mal, and they were only able to muster up two runs, and that was in the sixth inning there. So I'm leaning towards the under. I just want more information on the win direction. As far as a side, the one thing that does make me nervous about Cole Reagans is that if he does give up walks, are the Twins going to be able to capitalize on that? So if you want to look at a walks prop for Cole Reagans, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I'm trying to find the number on that. I believe I saw that 1.5. It was juiced at minus. Yeah, that might mean minus 200. So pretty much 2.5. You get some nice plus odds on that. So, yeah, lean towards under, but again, I want more information on that wind and hopefully I can have more clarity in the morning.
I've got 6 miles an hour, just sort of right of center, Moonaf, blowing out. Is that good?
Yeah, that makes me nervous, especially when the wind is blowing out. But again, the Twins, their offense is either hot and cold, right? I mean, there's times where they can put up 4 or 5 runs per game, and they're just. And then there's games where their offense just looks anemic and it's difficult. I think that there may be a little bit more rust to start the season here. So, I am leaning towards the under here. Nothing on the side for me. I just couldn't separate the two pitchers. I just feel like it could be a good pitching duel, like you mentioned, like it was last year.
I found this cheeky little site that I've been using for stats and stuff, Moonaf. This is in this cheeky little site has given me the weather report at three different times during the game. So I'm getting the first pitch weather report. I'm getting a weather report after an hour, and I'm getting a weather report 2 hours in. So I'm getting all the information on the weather. That might be a little bit of weather overkill, possibly, Moonaf. I don't need three weather reports for one game. 4:10 Eastern is the Detroit Tigers at the Chicago White Sox. Here we go. Left-handed pitcher for both sides. It is Tarik Skubal for Detroit. It is Garrett Crochet for the White Sox. Minus 180, the Tigers. Plus 150, the White Sox. Total of 8. Moonaf, are you making a case for the White Sox? Come on.
Cannot do it. You know I'm on my Tigers here. Come on, Mal. Tarik Skubal. Opening day starter, rightfully so. Last year, 7-3, 2.80 ERA, 102 strikeouts to 14 walks. Finished the season last year, Mal, 4 straight starts. We had at least 8 strikeouts, 9 strikeouts in 3 out of the last 4 starts. You take a look at what he did down the stretch. In the month of September, the Tigers won all 5 of his starts. He didn't allow more than 2 earned runs in any of those last 5 outings. And 2 of those 5 outings, coincidentally, were against his White Sox team. And he's had a lot of success against his White Sox team. Him being a left-handed pitcher. Now, traditionally, we've seen the White Sox have success against left-handed pitching. But if you take a look at it last year, they were one of the worst teams against left-handed pitching when you saw when you look at WRC plus, second worst. The only worst team was the Colorado Rockies here. So I mean, right now the price for the Tigers is at -1. Let's see here. Where are the Tigers? -180. I'd honestly look at the run line here. -1.5. It is -108. You get all 9 at bats. With the Tigers, I have the better pitcher on the mound. I think they come out and get the dub here. I think it should be a comfortable win, something in the neighborhood of 5-2, 5-3, 5-1, something like that. I think that Tigers can get to the White Sox pitching here. So I'm all over the Tigers on the run line, -108.
Yeah, I'm not buying any of that, Moonaf. I'm not in on the White Sox at all. They're clearly rubbish. Crochet might go okay. Did have a good spring. Captain Insano points out. But the Tigers, you can't be getting involved with the Tigers at -180. They're still the Tigers. Like, they're a 500 team at best, and I think a little bit under that. -180 is way, way, way too short. Now, I've got those numbers for the Scooble Ks. Again, Captain Insano thinks they're going to go over. I've got some sour news for you, Captain. Those 8 in a row he went over. 6.5, as you say, at the end of the season, Moonaf. Numbers were incredible. 8, 10, 9, 9, 7, 9, 7, 7. But started the season, 6 of 7 starts would have gone under 6.5. Now, obviously, he was coming back from injury then. A little bit different, but is it really a coming out of spring? He's just not quite as ramped up. I don't dispute for a minute, August, September, he'll be doing that. But just tomorrow, might just be a shorter leash, like you say, for these starters. So I think, obviously, the books and everyone else, by the sound of it, is zigging and taking the bait on those 8 in a row over 6.5s. But I just think early in the season, I say we saw 6 out of 7 go under. I'm going to take the under 6.5 strikeouts because I just think you might just go 2 or 3, but as fewer than you will be doing later in the season. So, yeah, not interested in the lines, but I'm going to zag here. While everyone else zigs, I'll take Scooble under 6.5 strikeouts. Sorry, Captain. Okay, I'm going to tell you all about the next sponsor here, which is Hall of Fame Bets. Helping everyone win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season. The sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props and game lines. Research NBA and soccer bets with historical stats and data. Put your parlay ideas into Hall of Fame Bets Parlay Optimizer tool. You'll get hit rates broken down by leg. It'll sort all your players by expected probabilities, value, all the good stuff. Stop betting in the dark. Join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Next is more 4:10 action. Pittsburgh Pirates and Miami Marlins. Mitch Keller for the Pirates. Jesus Luzardo, left-handed pitcher for the Fish. Plus 115 Pittsburgh, minus 135 Miami. Total 7.5, Munaf.
Yeah, Jesus Luzardo starting here for the Marlins, like you mentioned there, Mal, last year. Had a pretty solid year. I mean, the record was 10-10, but he did have a 3.58 ERA, 208 strikeouts last year for him to 55 walks. At home last year, he was 5-4 with a 2.99 ERA and 19 starts. On the road, 5-6 with a 4.48. So a pitcher that's a lot better at home than at, on the road. Obviously, him being a left-handed pitcher, that's where the Pirates, I believe, struggled last year a little bit. I'm trying to pull up the numbers here on FanGraphs. So strikeout percentage for the Pirates against left-handed pitching last year was number 9th, the 9th most. Team batting average against left-handed pitching. Let me see here. Sorry, I need to update that to left-handed pitching. Let me correct myself. So number 8 as far as strikeout percentage as a team against left-handed pitching last year for the Pirates. Team batting average was bottom 10. WRC plus against left-handed pitching last year was the 6th worst. I know I gave out Marlins under as my one of my best bets for a win total, but I think this is a good spot here for Luzardo at home against a team that really struggles against left-handed pitching. So I think the Pirates will have a little bit of struggles getting on base or even scoring runs here against Jesus Luzardo in the Marlins. I do expect this to be a lower scoring game. Last year, Luzardo did have one start against the Pirates, 7 innings. He only allowed 2 hits, no earned runs, 9 strikeouts to 1 walk. So if you want to get on a Jesus Luzardo strikeout prop, I think I saw that number at 6.5, if I'm not mistaken here. Let me double check here for you guys. So Jesus Luzardo, yeah, 6.5. It's that plus money as well, plus 120 for Luzardo in this game here. Mitch Keller, last year, 13-9, 4.21. If I'm not mistaken, Mal, wasn't he the starter for the All-Star game last year for the National League, I believe? I think he was. I don't know. Maybe somebody in the chat can help us out with that. But I mean, you take a look. There was times last year where Mitch Keller looked absolutely lights out, and there's times where you just thought that, you know, does he belong on a big league roster? And the thing last year with Keller was he struggled on the road, Mal. 6-6 with a 5.35 ERA. You compare that to his home ERA, 7-3 with a 2.90. So about almost 2.5 runs more he allowed on the road. So I like the Marlins in this spot, actually. So I'm on the Marlins money line here. Jesus Luzardo over 6.5 strikeouts at plus money. I really do like that as well. So minus 130 right now for the Marlins on the money line here, Mal.
Fair enough. I absolutely love what you've done there because it backs up my thought process. And you know, I like it when I get a little bit of validation off you people who have the correct accent to do this, because I looked at this game and my instinct from all the preview shows we've done, because we put Miami pretty much into full-on fade mode, was to take Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a dog. I like Pittsburgh. I'm not keen on Miami. And then you got into it, and you couldn't do it. The more you looked into it, Munaf, for all the reasons you've just given, the more you came round to the Miami. So again, I had to pivot off it. And I'm absolutely delighted that you've come down on the same side. It was the key issues, the 5.35 road ERA. Because Mitch kind of has been talked about quite highly, but I'm not as sold on him, really. If he gets his sweeper going, maybe, but he just hasn't impressed me as much as others seem to be impressed with him. Luzardo was great on opening day last year. Keller wasn't. Gave up 5 earned runs at Cincy last year on opening day. And like I say, that road ERA was just absolutely enough. So I'm not in on the Marlins at all. But I think they're a good bet tomorrow. So yeah, I got to the same conclusion as you, Munaf. Straight bet on Miami, minus 130. Next is 4:10 Eastern between the New York Yankees and Munaf's hometown, Houston Astros. Two lefties go at it again here. Nasty Nestor Cortez goes for the Yankees, and Framber Valdez takes the start for Houston. The lines are plus 125. For New York, minus 155 for Houston, total of 8.5. I found this tricky, Moon. I didn't have loads for this year. I was looking at the splits, and I found both teams hit left-handed pitching really well. In fact, the Astros absolutely crushed it. The lineup projections as well, both have their all these little color-coded lineup projections. There's a lot of green squares up and down both sides here, indicating that the bats have good matchups against Cortes and Valdez. So I'm going to take the over 8.5 for those couple of reasons. And I don't know if you did see earlier on that New York signed or traded for John Birtie, which is a bit of an odd one from the Miami Marlins. The stolen base guy. He's quite old. I think everyone thinks he's like 24. He's not. He's 33, I think. But he's still got wheels. So we'll have to see how he goes. It was a three-team trade with the Rays and Miami, and they've sent some prospects in all different directions. Captain Insano's accusing us of being a Yankees pod, first accusation of the season. I'll take the over, Moonaf, over 8.5. Runs.
Yeah, I think that Framber Valdez is a pitcher that has struggled against the Yankees in his career. You just take a look at the numbers in particular against the Yankees in his career. 0-1 with a 6.75 ERA in 3 appearances. He's allowed at least 3 runs in all 3 starts. Didn't face them last year, coincidentally. But Valdez, I mean, he was pretty consistent as far as his ERA at home and on the road. But the Astros really struggled last year at home. And I know we talked about that on the AL West division preview. Is that that's something the Astros are going to have to correct? But I feel like this is an opportunity where I agree with you. I think that we do see runs in this game. And like you mentioned, the Astros were one of the better teams against left-handed pitching last year. So I think they can get their fair share. The batting lineup is healthy. So you'll see, you know, 1-7, 1-8. It's going to be a murderer's row for opposing pitchers for the going up against the Astros. You can make the same case for the Yankees as well, right? With Juan Soto now being in the heart of that lineup. I believe Aaron Judge, I don't think he's going to be out, but I know that he was dealing with some type of injury. Maybe Captain Insano can help us out with that, but he should be in their lineup as well. So I'm with you. I think the over 8.5 is the right play here. If you had a gun to my head, I would probably actually lean with the Yankee side here on the money line as well. So, but I'm in agreement with you over 8.5.
Okay. Lane joined us. Lane, welcome back. Good to talk a little bit of baseball with you. What time is this next game? 7:35 Eastern time. These last four games are all past my bedtime, Moonaf. It is the Chicago Cubs at the Texas Rangers, where left-handed pitcher Justin Steele, friend of the show, goes for the Cubs, and Nathan Eovaldi will go for Texas. Close on the books, -105 the Cubbies, -115 Texas. Total is set at 8. Moonaf, hometown Texas Rangers, 2 games in a row. They're not your hometown, although you don't like that. Who's going to win, Moonaf?
Yeah, the Rangers last year, like you mentioned, like the Astros, were one of the better teams against left-handed pitching as well. They were number 5 as far as WRC+. They were number 7 as far as team batting average against left-handed pitching. Slugging percentage, they were number 9. So they were top 10 in pretty much all the hitting categories against left-handed pitching. And that's the part that makes me nervous about taking the Cubbies here. Is there a World Series hangover maybe here for the Rangers? Possibly, because I think they'll, I don't know if they're like doing the whole ring and the banner ceremony tomorrow. I'm pretty sure they are. I haven't looked into it. But you know, Justin Steele last season, towards the end of the year, he was in that race for Cy Young. Had his last 3 starts were absolutely atrocious against the Diamondbacks, the Pirates, and then the Braves. I don't believe he's faced the Rangers in his career. Actually, he did. He did actually face them back in April of last year. 6 innings, he only allowed 1 earned run. Did have 4 walks in that game and 3 strikeouts, and the Cubs actually did win that game 10-3. Nathan Eovaldi is a pitcher that I think I'm a whole lot familiar with, because he's a guy that can kind of cruise during the regular season but really turns it up during the playoffs. I mean, he did have a really good season last year, 12-5 with a 3.63 ERA. But I think this is a game where we may also see some runs here. I think that, like I mentioned, the Rangers are really good against left-handed pitching. they could possibly tag Justin Steele here for a couple of runs here. And I think that Nathan Eovaldi can give up some to the Cubs here as well. So I wouldn't be opposed to a first five innings over or even a full game over eight in this game here, Mal.
I found this really, really hard, Moonaf. And obviously the books agree because it's virtually a match. I would back the Cubs here at -105. So I think Texas are a little bit beat up, the projected lineup. Corey Seager and Josh Jung are, I think, likely to play, but both just dinged up a little bit. And then there's the unknown in Wyatt Langford. You just never know. He's the rookie who's got most traction, I think, coming into this season. And Evan Carter's the other one. And I'm not really convinced by Evan Carter. He's probably going to bat three tomorrow. And I'm not really buying it. And I do like the top six of this Cubs lineup. We've got TVDBJ throwing out a Christopher Morel home run, which I like. Morel will be batting clean up there tomorrow. But Seiya Suzuki looks like taking a step forward. Bellinger, I've backed him to be the home run leader, so excited by him. And then you've got Dansby Swanson, Ian Happ, Michael Bush, even down batting at seven, a rookie. So I'm more interested in the Cubs. This will be lower down my list of things to bet on because I'd be, like I say, it's a toss of a coin, and I'd be guessing a little bit. But if you did give me a tenner and ask me who to put it on, I would back the Cubs at -105. 10:07 Eastern Time is the Cleveland Guardians against the Oakland Athletics. I shouldn't laugh when I say the Oakland Athletics. That's bad. Shane Bieber starts for Cleveland, and it is left-handed pitcher Alex Wood for Oakland. -162 Cleveland, +136 Oakland. Total here is 7.5. Now, I know everyone's dying for me to say Oakland first five out of tradition, but I'm not moving off. I can't bring myself to do it. This is horrible. As it stands, you know what? If you were a rich man, -162 on Cleveland isn't a terrible price, you know, if you've got money to burn. Or if you want a little parlay, put them in with the Dodgers. What does that pay? Moneyline, Cleveland and the Dodgers. Honestly, that's like free money. The entire handicap on this game is Shane Bieber. He's pretty much the only reliable thing in the game. I do want to see what Alex Wood offers. Alex Wood has shown flashes in the past. But this lineup for Oakland's grim. Really, really grim. There's going to be no opening day vibes. I think Oakland are just, they're boycotting it again, the fans, I think. There's a full-on boycott going on. And they could be under 4,000 people there tomorrow, which is a madness. I could only take Cleveland run line, Moonaf, which is at +110.
So Alex Wood is a left-handed pitcher. And the one area that the Indians, I'm going to call them the Indians / Guardians struggled in was against left-handed pitching. And you took a look at the numbers. It's pretty overwhelming. WRC plus, the second worst team, the Cleveland Guardians, strikeout percentage against left-handed pitching. They didn't strike out a lot, do the Cleveland Guardians, but team batting average against left-handed pitching, the second worst, on-base percentage, the worst. Slugging percentage, the worst. OPS, the worst. So you kind of see where I'm getting at here. Look, Alex Wood he's a journeyman, right? And again, he's bounced around from team to team with the Dodgers and the Giants. Last year, he was 5-5 with a 4.33 ERA. I feel like this is going to be like the public favorite of the day in the Guardians with Shane Bieber on the mound. I'm not swinging for the fences here, Mal. Give me the money line here for the A's. I'm going to take the A's money line here. Again, if it was anybody else that was pitching for the A's, that was a right-handed pitcher, I'd get on the Guardians. But the Guardians were just so, so bad against the left-handed pitching last year. So I think this might be one of the more shockers. People probably try to chase their losses from the beginning of the day. Get on the Guardians here. So I'm going to go with the A's here. Whether you want to go first five or whether you want to go full game, I think this is going to be the upset of the day. Give me the Oakland A's here.
Moonaf, you bad man. The only thing is with that is Wood will probably only go about three innings, so they've still got to get through the other two-thirds of the game. We're not seeing Yeah, Kibert Ruiz is not projected to be in the starting lineup, but not injury related, so I don't quite know what's going on there. The double, the parlay, the Dodgers and the Guardians money line, pays +128. So that interests me tomorrow night, Moona. Next up is 10-10 Cowboy Time first pitch between the Colorado Rockies and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Left-handed pitcher Kyle Freeland for the Rockies and Zach Gallen goes for the D-backs. The D-backs who have today signed Jordan Montgomery to a one-year £25 million deal. Probably take 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks even to get him ready. But Montgomery will be on the mound soon enough. And that does, if Erod isn't too bad, that gives them a very, very strong first four in the rotation for Arizona. So they continue to press a good advantage here. I said the Dodgers might have been the shortest favourites on the card here. Might actually be the Diamondbacks. They're -245 with Colorado +205 and a total of 8.5. It's a boring pick, Moonaf, but there's not much else you can do with that. There might be the odd day when we want Kyle Freeland. There might be the odd day when we want Colorado, but not today, not in this situation. Gallen, you can't really pick holes in him. He's an absolute workhorse. Last April, I talked about Tarik Skubal maybe having to build up, and that's why I was happy to fade his case earlier on. Gallen just goes 6-7 innings from the jump. The minute you let him go, he's just out there throwing pitches. So no problem with him at all. I do like the Gallen outs in that case because he will go 6, maybe even 7. Over 17.5 outs is -105. And Colorado, these are going to be easy outs as well. It's not going to be particularly stressful outs. You should be able to get these quite quickly if this goes to form. So the D-backs on the run line is -115. And the little Gallen out prop, if you're that way inclined, over 17.5 meters.
Yeah, I mean, Gallen has just been so dominant against the Rockies in his career. 13 appearances, 6-1 with a 2.45 ERA. I mean, if you want to trim that down to over the last two seasons, he's 4-0 with a 2.43 ERA, 42 strikeouts and 6 appearances. We only had one start against the Diamondbacks against the Rockies last year. They won that game 5-1. I mean, they jumped out to a 3-0 lead in that game. Like you mentioned, Zach Gallen last year at home was just so dominant. This was one of the pitchers we talked about a lot that, you know, sometimes we wanted to fade on the road, but at home was a pitcher that we wanted back. 12-2 at home with a 2.47 ERA on the road, 5-6 with a 4.42 ERA. And I just mentioned the numbers against the Rockies. And again, Kyle Freeland, like you mentioned, this is not the time where we want to back him. Last year just was so bad, 5-14 with a 5.03 ERA. And like you mentioned, like the Cardinals, that they're starting Miles Mikolas here. Well, they got Kyle Freeland starting for the Rockies on opening day against the National League pennant winners there. So, and again, Kyle Freeland against the Diamondbacks in his career, take a look at it. 3-8 with a 5.35 ERA in 20 starts. He's lost three out of the last four starts against the Diamondbacks. So we just say all that to say it's Zach Gallen. Take the run line here, -1.5, -115. I like what TVDBJ mentioned as well. Maybe the Diamondbacks team total over as well against Kyle Freeland.
Okay. Aiden has joined us. He's buzzing for opening day. Max Jenkins trying to get involved in the D-backs and Dodgers money line. Throw the Guardians in. We're building the chat. We're slowly building a parlay here. We've got the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks and the Guardians now. That plays +220, Moona. Okay, that was the penultimate game on the show. The final game is another Cowboy Time 10-10 Eastern first pitch between the Boston Red Sox and the Seattle Mariners. My guy Brian Bello goes for the Boston Red Sox. Left-handed pitcher Luis Castillo for Seattle. +145 Boston, -175 Seattle. Total 7.5. Moon off. Round us out with a winner, please.
Yeah, Brian Bello getting the opening day start here for the Red Sox newly signed contract extension with the Red Sox, Brian Bello. I know you're a huge fan of him. And there were spots last year where he looked really good. I think he got off to a very rough start last year, if I'm not mistaken, only in the month of April. But after that, he really turned it up. Did slip up a little bit in July, but other than that, and in September, but he had a really good, great month of May. He had a great month of June. He had a great month of August. The question will become, is this moment going to be a little too big for Brian Bello? And I think the concern with Bello has been, you know, location and command, that if he's able to correct that, or if he has corrected that in the offseason, I could see him having a solid outing. Last year, he did face the Mariners twice, was 2-0, did have one good outing against the Seattle Mariners at Fenway Park, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 5 walks, 7 strikeouts. Then he went into Seattle last year, and on August 1st, 6 innings, did allow 4 earned runs, 7 strikeouts, but the Red Sox offense helped him out and got the 6-4 victory there. I picked Luis Castillo as my Cy Young Award winner for the American League. Really solid season last year, 13-9 with a 3.34 ERA, 219 strikeouts. Did face the Red Sox, I believe, twice last year as well, if I'm not mistaken. And in that span, he faced them once as a pitcher for the Mariners in Fenway Park. Did struggle in that game, 5 innings, 7 runs, 5 of them were earned runs, did allow 3 home runs, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts in that game. I feel like this might just turn into a pitcher's duel here, Mal, especially in the first 5 innings. I think if Bello can really settle in, that first and second inning will tell me everything I need to know about Bello for this game. If he's able to, you know, command his pitches, locate them, get throws for strikes, I think that he gives the Red Sox a chance here. But I do think that Luis Castillo will perform very well at home here. This at 7.5 for a reason. So I'll take the full game under, and also do like the first 5 innings under here. I'm not comfortable laying that -175 price with the Mariners right now, even against the Red Sox here, but under 7.5 is my play here, Mal.
Oh, well, Moonaf, that's the second time you've taken it under 7.5, and it's the second time I'm going completely against you. I just think Castillo was worse against left-handed bats last year, and Boston have stacked the top order with them, 4 of the top 5. Tomorrow, Duran, Devers, Casas, and Yoshida are all lefties. There's question marks about the bottom half of this Seattle lineup, particularly Haniger, Canzoni. We haven't seen Franz Rojas. Now, I am a sucker for Brian Bello, have been for 3 years, but he's much better at home. 4.66 road ERA. So Bello can give up a couple, and a couple of these lefties can take Castillo for 2 or 3, and then we can get over the total later in the game. So opposite side of you, Moonaf, it will be the over 7.5 for me. And I think with the 2 rainouts, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have handicapped the opening day card. Moonaf, what kind of fancy stuff are you going to throw out? Do we have a lock, dog, and a prop? I know you tend to do these on the fly, so are you ready?
I'm sure you're ready. I'm just making the banner here real quick. Why don't you go ahead, and right. I'll go ahead and
right, okay. My picks as well. Well, I'm going with an unfeasibly boring lock, but it's just important we get off the mark, Moonaf. Let's get 1-0, build some momentum, and then when my confidence is up, then we'll start branching out into the exotic stuff. Dodgers run line, like I say, I don't want anything to do with the cards until they prove me wrong, but they won't because they're shit. And Mikolas is an absolute shambles. Dodgers run line is -118 for my lock. My dog, I'm going to take on Max and his Baltimore Orioles. I'm going to take the Angels first 5. Like I say, a little bit nervous. Corbin Burns and Sandoval went well fresh last year. So we'll take the Angels. Why am I taking the Angels, honestly? I thought I'd grow out of that. I know, yeah. Angels first 5 is +150. And props, Moona. I've got a couple that I've mentioned. Scooble, under 6.5. I laid out my case for that. And I do like CJ Abrams to steal a bag for the Nationals at +130, Moona.
All right. All right, for my lock, it's Zach Gallen day, Mal. He's at home. He's going up against the Rockies. Given the run line, -1.5, -115. I mean, we talked about how dominant he's been in his career against the Diamondbacks, and especially at home last year, 12-2 record. sub 2.5 ERA, where the ERA last season was above four on the road, but he's at home. Crowd should be fired up. And again, Gallen at home, that's all you need to know. So -1.5, -115 for the Diamondbacks. For my dog, no, you took a dirty dog in the Angels. I'll take a dirty dog in the same division. Give me the Oakland A's. Let's go first five innings here. Let me pull up that number here for the Oakland A's. Yeah, it's +124. It's a little puppy dog, but if you want to go full game, I see +140s out there for the Oakland A's. Again, it's the fact that Alex Wood is out there, even if he does go 3-4 innings here. I think that with the Guardians' struggle against the left-handed pitching, I mean, they were bottom in most offensive categories against left-handed pitching last year. And Alex Wood, you know, he's been with the Dodgers, he's been with the Giants, so it's not like he's not faced good offenses. And I'm not saying this good are the Guardians are a good offense here, but I think there's an opportunity that everybody is going to be down on the Oakland A's. Oh, they're in the rumors of going to Vegas. Are they going to stay? And maybe the Guardians can take advantage of that. But I think there's an opportunity, at least on opening day, for them to shock some people. So I'll take the A's as my dog. And for my prop, it's at plus money. Jesus Luzardo over 6.5 strikeouts. It's at +120 here, Mal. I think that he can get this done probably in 4 or 5 innings here against the Pirates. We talked about how they also struggle against left-handed pitching. So Jesus Luzardo for me, over 6.5 strikeouts, +120 right now on DraftKings. That's my prop, Mel.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you very much. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Thoroughly enjoyed the chat as well. And now all that's left is to sit back and watch it unfold tomorrow. We're going to be back round about the same time, maybe a couple of hours later tomorrow, to handicap Friday's games. But that means we can have a little watch along as we handicap Friday's games as well. Yeah. I'm having a look. There's the two double headers now, which means there are 3, 6, 9, 10 games, which is a nice card for us to get stuck into tomorrow. So we'll handicap those games as we watch our winners and losers get over the line. Round about this time tomorrow, but we'll schedule the stream as soon as we know what time we're going to go. So just keep your eyes peeled. And as the season goes on, we appreciate everyone getting involved. So like, rate, review, tell a friend, be a friend, all that shenanigans. Moonaf, would you like to tell the people anything else before we let them go?
No, if you haven't already, subscribe to the MLB Gambling Podcast YouTube channel. We want to get to 1,000 subscribers as soon as we can. I think we're 200 some odd away from achieving that. And that unlocks a lot of things for us to, you know, expand the show here as well. So we can't get it done without you guys subscribing. And if you haven't already, great time to boost the show, get us some ratings and reviews out there, whether it's on Spotify, whether it's on Apple, wherever you do listen to the podcast. So appreciate everybody. It's day one. The suspects in the chat. I know our chat community is going to grow a lot throughout the season. So it's a lot of fun interacting with everybody that's in there. So subscribe, leave us a rating and review. And like Mal said, we'll be back tomorrow for the Friday card. So look out for us then.
Thanks, Moonaf. Okay, cheers, everyone. Hope you all have a very fun and, more importantly, successful opening day tomorrow. We'll be back, like I say, around about this time tomorrow night. Until then, we will see you down the road. Cheers.